Well, Bob, I know that you like to grind away and work in that laboratory of yours, and it looks like things keep progressing, and you've moved forward to SM8. Yeah, tell us about those.
Well, you know, in all the other iterations that we had, from going all the way back from when we first started doing with CG, was SM8s, SM7s. So we learned a heck of a lot from that. So we take all the feedback. Every year we go move and we make the changes. And we found out that the weight that we had, particularly on the 60, 62, 60, 58, the weight pad, we found it was almost got the weight back a little bit, like that, a little too far. So we saw that. It was good, playable, great golf run. Well, but we can make improvements on it. So by doing so, we found out that we're able to take the weight and we moved it in a forward position. So CG usually up and down, which you did in six, out in the sevens, and then the eights out and back. So sevens, we turned around, we got rid of the pad, and we moved the CG forward in the right impact position that we originally had. When we remember, we had the weight pads lower and then the pads higher, right behind the impact position of the strike, which is so very important. So we were able to move it a little bit forward by what we do. We took a little, made the hosel, particularly in the 58 through 62, a little longer. But to counteract by doing that, we moved it forward in the hosel. We turned around and put tungsten weight out in the toe. A little bit of weight out in the toe, which helped the stability of the golf club. Helped to hit the ball straight, more consistent, better trajectory. And the feel was phenomenal. It's great, particular. Not so much on your halves and folds, but it was very good greenside too. Because sometimes greenside, you know, may not feel as well as it does on thing, but we did get the good feel. So that was one of the things. But the other thing, we made you'll notice we got rid of the weight pads. So as a result, we have a classic look. So very important. Tour players, the first thing they do when I use equipment all the time, you take the club out of the back, sit it down on the ground. It's got to look good. In the square position, and then rotate it open, it still has to look pleasing to the eye, give them confidence. So we kept the good classic shape. But what we did also while doing that, we turned around and we refined the score lines. Worked hard on the score line, so we work with our vendor to give us a more consistent score line, which has been good. Which give us, I like to say, the best spin in the business, but, you know, more consistent spin. And we also have a proprietary heat treatment in there, which prolongs the length of the score line by almost double the length of the grooves, because it's so very important. I think wedges, my averages, people ask me, how long should I keep my wedges? I like maybe, you can count 75 rounds, 75 to 100, and also by that type of player, you're hitting balls in between that, out of the bunker, if ranges that they have might be a little sandy, that's going to tear more. And it's not going to be in all wedges. If you have three wedges or four wedges in your bag, it'll probably usually be the one go-to wedge, whether it be your sand wedge or your lob wedge. That's the one you ought to have checked. Because that little 8-foot putt that you shot that you used to putt at 8 feet gradually has become a 15-foot putt, a 20-foot putt, because it's hitting and rolling out, and releasing and rolling. So it's so very, very important to have your wedges checked. And I know, as you'll notice here, I have the different finishes. Got the tour chrome finish. It's more of a satin finish, so it doesn't reflect in your eyes when you lay it open, because it's a flat look. It doesn't do that. We have what we call a brush chrome finish, which is my favorite, the ones that I put in my bag. I like this. I like the look of it. Very, very good. Really subtle look. And then, of course, we got the black, jet black. Similar, very similar to what we had in the SM7s. So that's the finishes. I mean, that's just about all the main improvements. But everything, the conversion has been just phenomenally successful. We took it out of Sea Island, and we had one of our best conversion rates ever. And then we had, I guess it was Hawaii, we had a count. Daryl Server, we had first and second. We're still, first was SM8, second was SM7s, and then came, I call it the rest of the pack, and I'm not being arrogant when I say that. I'm going to say the other.
Bob told me a few years back, he said, I got one of the best laboratories in the world. It's called the PGA Tour.
It is. I still use it, but I have Aaron Dill out there now. He's been out there quite a few years, so he brings back that particular feedback back to me. and our team. We have a team now. It's a team effort. From the days when I used to do it all by myself, now I have a team effort. I've got a good team. They're trained, and they know what I want. So I'm like almost like a the mentor or the godfather. See, we get the crew together, and we say, okay, what are we going to do to improve these particular shots that we possibly could have?
Well, Bob, they talk about moving weight around and doing different things, but how much is wedge production now just a matter of restructuring weight, or are these some of these machines that you can mill stuff on?
It's absolutely unbelievable. I used to do it by hand. I had a regular old lathe, you know, with a tool maker. I do that. Now all of a sudden he's got these five axis CNC machines. You can put something in a computer. You can transfer right to the computer, and out it's going to pop the actual part that you want to do it. You know, in this case, they'll open the tooling for it so we can reproduce. You know, as I said, it's okay to do onesie twosies, but can you do hopefully a million? You know, that's the key.
Well, how long does it take to make one now? Because I know in some of the design process, people say, oh, it takes X amount of minutes to just do one head now.
We're working on SM9s right now. So there you go, give you a two-year project before we put it, because we hope to get rapid prototypes by the end of this year to where we can turn around and hit them and start making all the conditional refinements that we have to make, the changes. So very important. Just takes time. And being done by computer is versus the old way I used to do it, the old-fashioned way I call it. Computer really does it quick. We can do prototypes, and almost overnight we can have a plastic to look at and see where we have to make changes.
Well, Bob, I remember people just had pitching wedges in their bag. Then they'd get a sand wedge, then they'd get a lob wedge. You'd see a 56 and a 60. Where is the degree of loft going now in wedges?
I think what it's happening on a tour, because they practice a lot and they know it, they can use a 60 degree. It's a lot of practice. You got to get that confidence. And I'd say, in other words, 60 is the top loft I would recommend. Some people like 62, but I would say 58.4, I would say I call it the average weekend golfer who doesn't practice enough. Because what's happened? Because wedges are down to 43, 44 degrees, pitching wedges. And 46, and as a result, there's quite a gap there. So you have to fill that gap in anywhere 4 to 6 degrees. So if you got a 40, 42, 46, 50, 54, 60. That's what I'd like to see as far as like 4 degrees, 4 to 6 degrees. Some players maybe like a 60, so they can go 54, 60. You know, there's different combinations that you can have, but don't go over 6 degrees. That's the max, because it's tough. Because 4 to 6 degrees equates to 10 to 15 yards, and that's a good gap to have. It's a good playable gap.
I was going to say the gap wedges, it seems like a lot of people are right around 52, and that's probably the next step from the pitching wedge.
It is, and exactly what I'd like to say. Your pitching wedge, and say, hopefully it's going to be 48 or 47, then you can go 5 degrees. 5 would give you into 52. So if you get 52, it's all going to rely on what your 9-iron is, pitch your 9-iron, and your P-dub, your present pitching wedge. Then go accordingly from there.
How much are you testing with the different sands? You know, the days of just the brown sand is gone, the white sand is coming.
So many different sands. Then you got river sand, you know, and different types. I know at our test center, we have different sands. And on tour, they're fairly consistent, you know, they're very pretty particular on the type of sand they're going to have. So it's fairly consistent. And what I would like to do, and I remember years ago, I used to take different sands, and we had them, different sands, placed at TPI, our test center. And that's where fluffy sand, a really close-cut sand, sometimes we'd even water sands down just to get a little bit different feel, different shots. And we still do all of those things.
Bob, finally, if somebody's looking for new wedges this year, what advice would you give them before they go shopping?
Most important part, go to a local Titleist fitting center or a fitting center, or see your local PGA Pro and ask them first off. Because people say, well, fitting is for somebody good. No. Fitting as well, you can be helped by anybody. Any professional can help you, and a fitter can help you to fit the right proper wedges for you, because there's a lot of different things, a lot of different shots to hit, and wedges are very, very important. There's a lot of different bounce, locks, grinds that you have to be. You could be confused, but with the lineup, I know the lineup that we have at Titleist, we can fit just about anybody in the world in that particular wedge, and that came from all the PGA tours all over the world. That's the input that I've went by over the past.